Welcome to Combat Sports Talk, the podcast dedicated to UFC and Bellator discussion, the MMA community, and combat sports in general. My name is Ryan Smith, and joining me this week is KC, Onyebuchi, and the man with keys to victory,
wow,
John Keys.
Wow, the only thing it's missing that you can spin that belt. Can you spin it, Mickey? Scratch? Can you can't do that? Yes. Okay. Okay. So this is the famous belt that I always hear about.
Undisputed. The undisputed KC Onyebuchi.
Yes.
I ruined Ryan's debut. There's nothing better than this moment right now.
Oh, okay, wow. So here's the deal.
I was waiting on this for the last 2 hours.
See, I kind of had the serious talk show face, and he did that. Okay.
The show's off the rails, folks. The show's off the rails.
Unbelievable. Like, yeah. I can't believe it. Like, you ruined the show. This is the first episode that we have video. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hot Mess 2019.
Okay, so first of all, if you haven't seen any of the fight videos of me beating KC up and then him being illegally awarded that championship belt mine.
This is fake news.
Alternative facts.
Because one of us has a belt here.
It's stolen.
Where's your belt?
Hold on. Right there in your hands.
Mm.
Now I know how John Jones feels.
You can come get it from my cold, dead hands.
It'll have to be.
Oh, man. That's beautiful. That's beautiful right there. Oh, God.
So we got a show to do, folks.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Okay. Man, I am so thrown off because of that BS right there that I just don't even want to do the show anymore. I just want to delete it. Like, just we're done.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot tell you how much buildup there was.
Y'all just need to be like side to side, like John Jones and Cormier, and you'd be like, hey, you still there? Okay, that's all I did.
That's awful. I'm so disappointed.
You're welcome. I got all a right. trophy.
We have a show to do. I'm going to completely ignore what you did there.
As you should.
Payback. You know what they say about payback.
Is a dish best served cold.
Oh, it's going to be cold. It's wintertime.
Any Hoosiers.
Any Hoosiers. Oh.
What a year 2018 has been in the world of MMA and the UFC. You got Francis Ngannou, proved that he was beatable twice. Mm. You had missing weight that became a strategy. You had the gangs of New York proved to be Irish and Russian.
Yes.
Kamaru Usman finally got some respect.
Put some respect on his name. On my name. There it is.
That's right. Darren Till's meteoric rise became a shooting star because you know what that really is. Right?
I blame Sweet Caroline.
Do better. Okay.
Yeah.
The greatest heavyweight the UFC has ever known got defeated.
Who's that?
Wait, what?
Stipe Miocic. He was the.
I thought you were gonna be like, hey, Kane didn't fight this year. Coming back.
You know, Kane didn't fight this year, did he?
Oh, I see how that is. Let's see. Some rivalries were put to rest, and old rivalries were rekindled. You had new stars made and old stars who lost their light. All in 2018. But most of all, we learned about PEDs.
Did we? Allegedly.
We know a lot about Tirinabol.
Yes. We know about the picogram. Okay.
The picogram, which we will talk about in the show. So, you know how I like to say, let's close the book on this one. Let's put it on the shelf because 2018 is history. But before we look forward to 2019, we got to talk about the last fight of the year, UFC 233. In the official decision.
The official decision.
This is the official decision. This is where we look back, way back into last year at UFC 233, where it was originally scheduled to be held at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. But thanks to an adverse result on a drug test, they had to move it 3 hours west to Los Angeles, California.
Man, don't give me that. Okay, they moved it because they needed John Jones, which they really didn't need John Jones, because we had a card on there that was super stacked, that was raw from beginning to end. They didn't need to do that for John Jones. They should have just had it in the gym somewhere and just let and just had camera crews there to watch it and be done with it, because I was not impressed with Dana White and UFC's decision to move it after so many people have gotten there. They've gotten there. They got their hotel rooms. They got their tickets. And then at the last second say, oh, well, we're going to move it 3 hours to the West Coast. That was a poor decision, in my opinion.
So here's the thing for me. Like, you know, if we think about the fact that they don't have a income tax in Las Vegas. So not only did they have to move everything to Los Angeles, but they also had to pay an income tax now. And so that is a double whammy, just so you could get John Jones to be able to participate.
But it's one of the few times that I'm going to say Dana White did right by his fighters. Because a picogram of something with all the experts saying that, look, this is an expected result for a clean fighter after having had that in their system. Like, why should John Jones miss out on his opportunity to headline, which Dana White said would never happen again?
Well, So let's get in some of these results, and we'll come back to John Jones. So first of all, we had the Megan Anderson. I'm calling this, we do just the main card, but we're going to do the honorable mentions. Megan Anderson defeated Kat Zingano via first round knockout, aka toe to the eye.
You've heard of toe head. Now she got a toe eye. I'm telling you, any kids, so these dad jokes will be not be wasted.
I just can't believe that there are people who were trying to treat the toe in the eye like an eye poke. And it's like, no, you can't. How are you going to control your toe when you're kicking somebody in the face?
Yeah. That, unless you got some awesome, like, monkey dexterity going on, it can't happen. I mean, this is a freak accident.
Yeah, it's not like this was part of the game plan. Like, Megan Anderson talked to Coach Mark Montoya and was like, look, I think I could land this in the eye. What do you think?
But it was a nasty one, though, man. Let's put it out there. It was nasty. There were stitches involved. It was, it's right there. It was right there. Oh, it's on my glasses. It was like right there. It was right there, man. It was bad. It was bad. Oh. That's all I got.
All right. Ryan Hall defeated the prodigy, BJ Penn, via submission. Heel hook in round one. So the question that I have for you guys, BJ Penn, is he washed up? Is he done?
Ooh, I'll let you go first, Casey. I'll let you go first.
I mean, real talk, I was surprised he was fighting. I was like, wait, who? Like, for real? I didn't know he was still fighting. I don't think he should be at this point. Anytime you have to question, like, really? Like, you probably shouldn't be fighting. It's over.
I was surprised at a lot of the fights that showed up, because I was like, whoa, they're fighting? I mean, that was a couple of times I said that on this fight card. BJ Penn got hit with a heel hook by a guy that is considered arguably a jiu-jitsu ace. So it's like getting knocked out by Mike Tyson in your prime, really, with this Ryan Hall. But on the same breath, BJ Penn should not be fighting a guy like Ryan Hall because he's young, he's a genius at jiu-jitsu, and come on, man, you could be in the Masters division. Go ahead, set up my Masters division, get him juiced up on Tyrannoball or whatever, you know, monster soda that they want to have that day, and just let him go for it. Open weight, no time limit, because it's all going to be over in 10 minutes anyway at the most. They'll probably die on the mat. And just let it be, you know?
Well, here's the thing for me is when you see the role that Ryan Hall executed to get the leg lock and how quickly he was able to get BJ Penn to submit, it was unbelievable. Like, it was like, okay, surely now we understand that MMA has passed BJ Penn by. It's over. It's over.
Yes and no. I mean, I'll be the first one to say yes. I'll be the first one to say yes, because as much as I respect BJ Penn, as much as I think he is and still the prodigy, you know, you may have been one of those builders for the House of MMA, but guys like Ryan Hall, they're the ones that are paying rent in and out. So, you know,
I mean, BJ Penn will have a home with Golden Boy Productions pretty soon.
Oh. Didn't say Bellator. He went straight to the streets with Golden Boy. You know. You know what? I'll look at that.
Someone else who could be going into the Masters division is Chad Money Mendez, because Alexander Volkanovski defeated Chad Mendez via second round TKO.
Dude, that was a straight punch. Was it a straight punch? Because I didn't even see the punch.
No, it was an uppercut.
It was an uppercut?
It was
just collapsed. It was like, I'm standing, I'm down. And it was just like, wow, okay, that's the end.
Yeah, so, I think that Chad Mendez got hurt, and then he was trying to survive. And when Volkanovski landed the uppercut, it was like, I'm not going to go any further. I'm just going to, let me just lay down.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did.
I mean, but Chad has had his time off, right? So maybe this is just a bit of the ring rust and just like, I would rather be deer hunting right now mindset. And it takes him a while to get back into it. I wouldn't say that he's done.
He's saying that he's done.
Yeah, I think money is cashed out, man. For real. Okay.
His hunting channels and whatnot have been rather lucrative for him. And I don't know if he can fight clean.
He fought clean in this last fight. No worries. Like,
and what happened? I think he's fallen prey to what was it?
Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah. These good old boys love to be. Man, they're bad when they're on that juice.
Yeah. Maybe so. It is weird that. Well, he fought one time after he came back, and this was his second fight. But Alexander Volkanovski is clearly one of those guys that's on their way up. He is the next generation fighter.
Nothing can stop him. He's all the way up.
So
all the way up. Thank you for getting that reference. I knew my man Ryan was just old.
I know. He doesn't even know two piece and a biscuit, man. Come on. Ugh.
Okay. Corey Anderson defeated Ilir Latifi via unanimous decision. This fight pissed me off, to be honest. Because Ilir Latifi should have murdered Corey Anderson. I had this pick, and the leg kicks were working. He just didn't keep going. Like, keep the leg kicks
sweep
coming.
Sweep the leg, man. Sweep the leg.
You got to sweep the leg. So, you know, Ilir Latifi got into a striking contest with someone who was bigger and taller than him. Corey Anderson did his thing, stayed out of the clinch, and just struck his way to a victory.
So do you think a bit of pride got in the way there instead of the game plan? He just kind of dropped the game plan and said, you know, screw this, I'm going to punch.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know that I could hear what the corner was telling him. Because, you know, you have two types of corners. You have one corner that gives you, like, great technical advice where you're like, keep doing this, change this. This guy's doing this, so you need to throw this combo and all that kind of stuff. And then you have the corner that's just like, yep, you're doing good. You're doing
stay
good.
Stay in keep there. Going. Just the encourager, yeah.
Yeah. You have the Coach Edmund corner where it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, even though you've got a black eye now, your nose is bloody, you're still you're winning this okay. fight.
You're doing okay.
Punch, keep punching. Oh, wow. Michael Chiesa defeated the natural-born killer, Carlos Condit, via submission, a Kimura, a nasty Kimura, yes, in round was. Two.
Yes, oh, now that we have video, you can actually show me what a Kimura is.
Yeah, I could, but it has been so hard to get this set up today, and then you ruined the whole intro. Like, I don't need any more comedy eras right now. Like, we just get through this show.
And the way that Chiesa, and you know what, I underestimated Chiesa. The way that he slipped it on, it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it was just brilliant, and it looked so subtle, just like the subtlety that is going on the screen right now. It was so slow that it was almost invisible. But it was, and it looked like he may have hurt him. So I hadn't caught an update since on Carlos Condit about his arm, but they think he may have hurt himself really bad on that one.
Oh, wow. So here's my question for you guys, because let me tell you what I think, and then I'll want to hear what you guys each think. I don't know that Carlos Condit is still in it. Like, his last few fights, he just seems like once you get him down, he's like, you got me. And the fight just kind of ends.
Oh.
Like, I don't know. I think Carlos' is time. I think it's his time to go.
Honestly, if you've been watching the UFC since Stefan Bonner and Forrest Griffith fought in the first Ultimate Fighter, if you've been watching it since then, every fighter that was there that year and maybe the year after that, they should all be gone by now. Okay, they really should be. Nothing against Carlos Condit. I think he's a phenomenal fighter, but he's had his time. You know, he can go do something else. I feel that way about a lot of the fighters that I grew up watching and admiring. And, you know, it's time for that new generation. It's time for those Chiesas. It's time for the new generation. It is time for all of them now. It's time. It is time for the Habibs, the McGregors, the Barbosas. You know, it's you know, they're younger. The game has changed. You know, the way that they do jiu-jitsu now, the way that they box now. They're becoming more mixed, but they're becoming even more pure, more refined than they were that previous generation. You know, the fighters that we saw back 10 years ago or even 5 years ago are nowhere cleaner than what we see now. Okay. They're a very refined product and it's impressive to see, but it's sad to see when our older fighters come up and fight and they're getting destroyed.
Well, speaking of someone getting destroyed, Chris Cyborg.
Oh man.
Chris Cyborg.
I'm going to disagree with this destruction thing. So everyone talks about, like, well,
let's get the announcement. Hold on. Amanda Nunes defeated Chris Cyborg via first round knockout in 51 seconds.
She did. However, I think as you break down the fight, so Cyborg wasn't at her best. She just clearly kept swinging, never went into any sort of defensive mode whatsoever, didn't respect power of Nunes, but part there of that disrespect for the power of Nunes came from everyone misses that leg kick that set up the first time that Cyborg goes down. She didn't ever recover from that first knock, like that first hit that dropped Cyborg, she was never okay after that. So, all right, I kind of put this in the realm of the Conor McGregor versus
Jose Aldo,
and like, all right, so you got caught. It doesn't mean that that the other person's a better fighter than you. They caught you with one punch. So for all the things afterwards that came after that, Amanda Nunes is clearly the best fighter ever. Like, a shot doesn't make you the best fighter. Like, it like, yes, Nunes is dope, but it I use that word carefully now. All right, I'll give you that. She's a clean fighter from what we know. Yes, Nunes can fight, but is she the baddest of all time because she caught an aging Cyborg? Not at all. Like, the work that Cyborg has put in to even make the women's division what it is, like, Cyborg was one of the biggest names in women's MMA and in MMA in general for a while. Like, the disrespect of the UFC and the commentators towards Cyborg is unmerited.
Okay, so here's my thought on this. Chris Cyborg absolutely needs to be considered still the greatest female fighter ever. Now, I think Amanda Nunes has a legitimate claim because of the fact that she knocked Chris Cyborg out, and she knocked her out before the buffer factor. Buffer factor fail. All right? So, as we know, the buffer factor is a fight should last at least as long as it takes to announce it. Took Bruce Buffer 154 seconds. So 2 minutes and, what was that, 34 seconds.
Nailed it.
51-second knockout, which means that it was a 3.08 buffer factor. So Chris Cyborg could have been knocked out three times before Bruce Buffer finished making his announcement of the fight. So let me get to your point. Here's the thing. I never believe that a fighter who gets knocked out within the first minute of a fight was dominated by their opponent. So what happened is Amanda Nunes hit Chris Cyborg, and Chris Cyborg reacted. Yeah. But we didn't see Chris Cyborg at her best. We didn't see the back and forth. This isn't like when we saw John Jones in the next fight, who basically walked through Alexander Gustafsson. So third round finish, it's like, okay, we know John Jones is better. What we saw is a flash knockout, and we're trying to say that Amanda Nunes is head and shoulders better than Chris Cyborg. No, she got a lucky punch. Not a lucky punch, but she got a punch that rocked Chris Cyborg, and Chris Cyborg couldn't recover. Yep. This fight absolutely needs to be rolled back, just like they rolled back Rose Thug Hair, Nama Yunus.
Thug Hair? Okay.
Thug Hair. And Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And what we saw is that once you go five rounds, I felt like Joanna Jędrzejczyk won, but Rose Namajunas has a legitimate claim now that she is truly the strawweight champion. I feel like Amanda Nunes, having flash knocked out Chris Cyborg, still has some work to do, because at 145, there is no one else to fight but Chris Cyborg. So this fight needs to be rematched, and if she wins again,
I'm still not saying the best. Even if she wins.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a second. Okay. I do not believe there was a lack of respect on the part of Cyborg to Amanda Nunes's power. Okay. We could all agree upon that. She walked in there and she was just taking the hits like, oh, I could take this. I could take this. Oh, I'm on the ground and I'm out. So that part happened. Does it need to be walked back? Yes. Okay. Is Amanda Nunes the greatest fighter ever? No. Okay. Because by that same mentality, you've got to call Fabricio Werdum the greatest heavyweight ever. And we're not going to do that here, okay? Because he knocked out Fedor Emelianenko back in the day. All right? We're not going to do that. However, if you go to the UFC website, and I challenge anybody, go look and see the featherweight, the women's featherweight division. I challenge you to find it. It is not there anymore. So I think what happened is that they wanted to prop Nunes up. If she had beat Cyborg, they're going to sit there and tout her as the greatest ever, because we all know Cyborg's days are going to be numbered. Okay, her shelf life is expiring. Okay, so they wanted to prop up the next generation, make Amanda Nunes the greatest fighter. There you go. And shut down the featherweight.
My biggest problem with going with the greatest female fighter is there's all sorts of disrespect going back to Ronda, but for me, one of the greatest all time fighters is always going to be Anderson Silva. Do we call Chris Weidman the greatest ever because he beat Anderson?
No,
beating an aging legend doesn't make you the best.
No,
it makes you the person who beat an aging legend. That's all it is. Like,
you're a legend.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
you could never have beaten Cyborg in her prime.
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
I agree.
Here's the problem that I have with that. Go check their ages. Go check
ages
their ages.
Doesn't matter. How many fights has Cyborg put in?
How many years has she been fighting? It's my question.
Listen, either way,
we're talking Chris about Cyborg, primes.
If you check their ages, if you check how long Chris Cyborg has been fighting, the fact is, I don't like this notion that, oh, now that Chris Cyborg is beat, oh, this is an aging fighter. No, John Keyes, you're the one who said, if you walked into the ring, you're good to go.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. And I still hold that. Okay, I'm not making any excuses about her age. What I'm making an excuse is that you have to, if you had beat her at the heyday of her fighting life, okay, you know, then we could start talking about, okay, you're a pretty bad person. Because that's just like saying, if you fight Mike Tyson right now and you knock Mike Tyson out, you're the baddest person on the planet. It cannot happen like that. Okay, Amanda Nunes, she's a great fighter. She has the trappings to make one of the best fighters in the world. But she's got a lot more to do to be up there with Chris Cyborg. She's got to be a force of nature, which is what Chris Cyborg is.
So okay? First of all, Chris Cyborg has been fighting 3 more years than Amanda Nunes. That's so it's not like it's 10 years. No.
That's a long time in the fight game.
No.
How many fights has she took in a year? Because that's what's her fighting record? Because her fighting record is give me a second here.
It's
58 million and 3?
Yeah.
No. Exactly. Chris Cyborg is 3 years older than Amanda Nunes, and she's been fighting 3 years longer.
All right, so if it's not just pure age, can we not say that her last few fights, Chris Cyborg has looked as if she's changing her pace? Like, she is not the same Cyborg we've seen in the past.
I disagree with that, too.
Yana
Tuniskaya finished her in the first round. Holly Holm, she went the distance. Should she have knocked out Holly Holm?
Yeah.
No. Tonya Evinger, 3 rounds with Tonya Evinger.
Exactly. That should have been a one and done. Come on.
I'm sorry.
You mean to tell me you still think that Chris Cyborg is on the way up?
What do you mean on the way up? She's at the top. She started at the bottom, and now she's here.
I'll give you that drop. That's fire. However, we all know that Chris Cyborg is not at the top of her game anymore. And I'll make that argument for John Jones in the next fight too.
No. I can't. You have a dominant fighter who got beat. We can go there and say Amanda Nunes does not get the crown of the greatest female fighter ever until she has a legitimate fight with Chris Cyborg that goes longer than a minute.
Okay.
Okay. But
well, even if it hadn't gone a minute, it wasn't like when we saw Ronda Rousey versus Betch Kohea. Like, I feel like those two matchups aren't even the same, where it's like Betch, like, was absolutely walked through. In this case, Cyborg was clearly just caught, and it wasn't just completely annihilated.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, it's like Betch Kohea did not have the prestige that Chris Cyborg has earned. I mean,
okay.
So, yeah, if Chris Cyborg didn't have all of these fights where she has defeated all of these people and is legitimately the most feared woman on the planet, then, yeah, if she didn't have all that accolades, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. It'd just be another victim that Amanda Nunes had. But because Amanda Nunes has beaten Ronda Rousey when people thought, ooh, we can't beat Ronda Rousey. When she's beaten Holly Holm, she's beaten Valentina Shevchenko, she's beaten Miesha Tate, you know? And when you start looking at this, it's like she has a legitimate claim, but she's got to do it twice. What?
I mean, she's okay. Killing these legends.
Okay, so I'm looking here. All right, just for the people who don't know, Cyborg is 33 years old. Okay. Her record is 20-2. All right. She lost her first match ever, and she just lost her last match. Okay. She has a no contest that got overturned. Okay. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a 33-year-old. So let's put it out there. 33-year-old person is in their fighting prime. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, they're not.
Yes, they are.
You know, I thought their fighting prime was between 25 and 35?
Something like that.
Yeah, so she's actually in her
fighting prime. Let's go. I'll fight.
You're not fighting me, man. I'm sorry. I'm not having that, okay?
Yeah,
I think I shrink down to like a welterweight, man. Come on now, okay?
Goodness. Something else to look at, because I think it's great that you're bringing that point up, but here's the thing. You're talking about how many fights does Chris Cyborg have? She has 23 fights. How many does Amanda Nunes has?
Hold on. Let me look her up.
Look her up.
I'm going to.
21. She's only got two less fights, and she's been fighting three less years. Amanda Nunes has been more active.
Well, that's because people have been ducking and dodging Cyborg. Okay, for obvious reasons, she looks like
she couldn't even get a fight in the UFC for so long. Come on, man.
But yeah. The point is you can't go. You can't go with the fight. She's past her prime when she hasn't been fighting as much as she should have been fighting. But she's still fairly healthy.
Yeah, but we also have to look at the fact that people did not want to fight Cyborg for many years. Okay, people. Ronda Rousey ducked the life. Okay,
and she was smart for doing it.
Yes, she was, because the life she saved was very much her own. Okay.
Oh, seriously. Look at that.
I mean, people ducked and dodged. I mean, those dudes that were ducking and dodging Cyborg, for Christ's sakes, with good reason. Okay, because look at them ham hocks she got on her.
Watching her fight Bisping was amazing. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Cyborg's still bad. I don't care what you say, but she's not what she used to be.
Yeah. So let's put it out there. I mean, she's Her aggression is not there like it used to be, and it could be because she's losing her taste for the fight. You know, she's losing that lust because she's been there, done that.
You know who hasn't lost that lust? John Jones.
Oh, look
of course at him. Not. I heard PEDs make you hungry, dude.
Wow. So John Jones put Alexander Gustafsson away via a third round KO.
Asterisk.
No way.
Wow.
Asterisk.
For 1 trillionth? Come on, get out of here.
Hold on. There's a fighter, and I forgot who said it. He got busted for 2 years for 17 picograms. Okay? So, yeah. Asterisk. Okay.
17 versus 1.
No, it wasn't one.
One versus none. Okay.
One pick and roll. Because, yeah. So, everybody's talked about it. I don't think we need to spend too much time on it. Frankly, we don't have enough time to spend on it. But John Jones looked very dominant. He, you know, took Alexander Gustafsson down and just beat him up. It was rough.
It was complete.
Was it the type of fight that you anticipated seeing from John Jones? If you look at round one with his takedown attempts and really just smothering Gustafsson and twerking on the elbow, it wasn't like a dude who was going out there.
Twerking.
There's no W. Well, we got cameras. Hey. Got him.
Oh my god! I don't need anything else, please.
It would have been trash. Yo, I'm way too single to throw stuff like that out there.
I dare you to twerk with the belt, man. I dare you to do it at the end of the show. Twerk with the belt, man. That's what I need you to do. Okay.
Oh man, I don't need to see this anymore. Good grief.
So here's the thing, folks. It's heavy. This got some heft to it.
No, it's
you
not.
Wouldn't know. You've never held this belt, so let me just tell you. It's got some
that
weight
is a
to
replica.
It. Got him. Anyway. John Jones, his strategy kind of played it safe in that first round, which I would have thought for a guy who's coming out to claim his throne as champ, or well, not champ, just the real champ, that he would have come out with a little more fire than he did in that first round.
Mm-hmm. I think he did the right thing. I think he knew. See, all the smack talk that he was talking, like, oh, Gustafsson didn't do this. He didn't affect me the first time we fought. That was all a lie. We know what he did. His lips were as big as watermelons. His lips were racist. Okay, I'll say it. His lips were racist. Okay, and you know, hey, I'll just say it. Hey, it's hey kids, we're not being here. Okay,
we not just certainly reflect the views of management or other guests on this show.
With that said, okay. John Jones was feeling them out because he wanted to make sure that it was the same guy. I expected John Jones to dominate. I'm not going to lie, because I truly believe that if he was confident within himself, he wouldn't have to take any type of supplements, bar none. Okay, if he went in there and he test clean,
knowingly, he would be did the not take supplement. Did not take any steroids. Let's make that clear.
I'm going to say it just like Mr. Miyagi said in part two of The Karate Kid. The best defense is not to be there. Okay? That's it. Okay? If you weren't even in the ballpark or even trying to take supplements, he would not be there. Okay? He would be clean. He would be the greatest fighter ever. Period. I wouldn't say he'd be the GOAT because by Ryan's standards, there's a lot more that he has to do. Okay, but he would be the greatest fighter that the UFC has ever seen. But he has a self-confidence problem, and he's got to take picograms of PEDs. He could be microdosing for all we know, okay? Which we learned about microdosing. Huh?
That would do nothing for him.
Apparently, the only thing it's boosting is his confidence.
Well, there
it
you
could be a psychological effect.
What I hate about this is it will forever taint the conversation that we have because the PEDs didn't give him his fight IQ.
No, Greg Jackson did that.
Well, okay. There you have it.
Yeah, and that's the other factor in his fight game is the Greg Jackson effect. As long as Greg Jackson is by you on ringside, you're not fighting the fighter. You're fighting Greg Jackson. And as far as I'm concerned, he is the Einstein of the fight game. There's no
Boyo might be a little better, but yeah, I get that.
Oh, brother, here we go.
Oh, man, come on, man. Greg Jackson. here we go. There it is. This is two. He's done two so far. I think he's trying to catch up. Okay, he did it within 5 minutes of the first, and now he's back here. What minute is this? 25 minute
mark? It was back to back, man. Back to back.
But yeah, I mean, great. As long as he needs to have confidence with himself to be the perfect fighter. I mean, honestly. But until then, asterisk. Okay,
give me. Well, let's see what he does in the next go round, because he's gonna get only more clean. One would hope. I doubt that he will pop again. Like, I just, he can't possibly let us down like that.
Okay,
cool. So we'll have to see what he does next. So,
Casey, I hate to see that. I hate to see you disappointed, bro.
Here's the thing.
Yes, go on.
Daniel Cormier had a really good point, and that point was, if John Jones is now allowed to compete with long-term metabolites of turinabol in his system, then what does that mean? Does that mean that he can always have that, and that anyone who gets it, then it's like, do they get suspended? Or now does that gives people a free rein to be able to have this in their system and still compete? I think that's a question that needs to be discussed.
It's an easy answer. You establish a baseline, and if it goes up from there, you're out.
Or in a court of law, once you let this happen, once you set precedents like this, that, oh, as long as if he has this in his system, that it'll be okay. You're opening up the door for other fighters to show up. Well, I only have one picogram of this, you know, in my system. I should be okay. If I'm not, how come John Jones gets the fight? And then we see the real UFC show up.
We say that as if there's a way a fighter can know exactly when they're going to get USADA tested and exactly how much will be in their system there. There's no way to game that.
Are we really going to say that USADA is not crooked or dirty yet? Are we going to say that?
I mean, not to the point where that you can get away with it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this issue with John Jones at all.
We have this issue with John Jones right now because he's been busted so many times. Cops Fort Worth at that, you know, because, you know, they love Fort Worth. All right. So, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. I can't, as much as I like, I respect John Jones as a fighter, you know, his decisions right now.
You know? Wait, so did we respect him when he was fighting just about every one of his fights? He was fighting against somebody who was on PED or had an infraction in the past?
Okay, if you're fighting somebody that's got busted eventually later with PEDs, you still went in there and you fought them. Yes, I respect Daniel Cormier for the fact that he fought John Jones twice and lost. I respect Daniel Cormier because he knew, even though
you don't respect John Jones for fighting Vitor.
Oh, I respect. Do we know if he was juicing or not at the time?
Do we know if John Jones was juicing at the time?
I'm talking about, no, that's what I'm saying. Do we know? Oh, we knew Vitor was juicing. I mean, Jesus Christ, man. Didn't you see his eyes? You remember when Stan Lee drunk that blood drop of Hulk blood? And he had Stan Lee eyes. His eyes were all green and everything. You know, me Vitor.
In all of UFC history, who's had every rule broken for him, mm-hmm. in Brock Lesnar. So why is it okay? Like, oh yeah, if I lost to Brock, it's one thing, but to lose to John Jones, we put Jones in a different category as this monstrous PED user when he has never actually been caught knowingly using PEDs.
First of all. We put Brock in the same category as John Jones. Okay, when Brock came into the UFC, everybody knew that he was juicing when he fought Mark Hunt because he was coming from the WWE, which is a notorious juice house. Okay, they've got more juice flavors than Juicy Juice. Okay, so with that said, with John Jones. I still put him in there. Okay. I still put him in there in that same category. All right. You're a juice monster and you don't have to be a juice monster. That's the real sad that both that both Brock Lesnar and John Jones did not have to juice. Okay, they were both dominant fighters.
No, Brock Lesnar had to juice. 100%. Let's be real there. John Jones did not knowingly juice.
Okay, did not knowingly. It's just like saying,
I did not inhale.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, you know,
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky.
Okay, y'all too bad about my lips comment. Bye. Okay.
All right, hold on. What's old Ryan Smith's take on John Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, quiet, sir, over here.
You know what's the thing is for me, John Jones.
The man.
You know, okay.
Did you just get teary-eyed?
No. Here's the deal.
What do you think about John?
John Jones has. I've gone back and forth on John Jones. That's the whole reason why I'm struggling to talk now. John Jones, in one hand, has all of this skill and all of this capability. He's a terrible matchup for everybody who walks into the ring with him. But at the same time, he's got this stain on his career that is the PED use. Mm-hmm. And when I look at someone like Daniel Cormier, who has been tested as many times as anyone, and he's never been popped, I can't hold John Jones to the same level of Daniel Cormier when Daniel Cormier has done things the right way. And the not knowing.
Except for making weight.
I'm sorry?
What? 206 pounds? What?
206 pounds, yeah. The thing is this. John Jones did not knowingly take a banned substance when he was doing the sexual enhancement drugs.
True.
At that point, the long-term metabolites for Tarinabol are steroids. That is I was doing some research before the show. And for bodybuilders, they were proposing to use oral Tarinabol.
So, oh, yeah. It's what everyone at the gym uses.
So I can't say that John Jones didn't use it to gain some type of advantage. And so that's what's giving me pause, is that I know that picograms are so minute. But what we don't know is when he ingested it to get whatever advantage that he had. So I can't not think of him in terms of an asterisk somewhere on his career. He's the greatest, yes. He's a bad matchup, yes. But he has this stain that is persistent, that hasn't gone away. And I've seen reports that say that whatever the number of picograms that showed up in August versus September versus December were increasing, not decreasing.
Interesting.
So it's all picograms, but when you start looking at what the numbers are, what's the baseline? Is it August or is it December? There's a reason why Nevada was like, no, we can't play here.
Fair.
So I respect John Jones as a fighter. I think he's the best there ever was.
You say the best.
But he's got a stain. And so I can't separate the two. All right. We're going to skip because we are way past.
Yeah.
Like, this whole show is just off the rails. Like, yeah. I didn't even want to post this. So we're going to do. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. What?
Getting a little head rest there. You know, a little head rest.
I'm sorry. What? Continue, please.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we're going to do some flash reactions here to close the show. Okay. So Floyd Mayweather defeating Tenshin Nasukawa via TKO in round one. Was this fight fixed? Yes or no?
No, you can't mess with Floyd. He's the baddest man.
John.
No, but I think there was a little bit of staging. I mean, as far
then
as
it was fixed.
It was over exaggerated. Let's just say it like that.
Over exaggerated means fixed.
Oh. Why you? Because he has strong hits. There were some serious hits there that if you're really a fan of boxing, you can see, okay, that was a legitimate hit, okay? But I think Tenshin was it's like he was super selling it, okay?
So this fight was fixed. This fight was fixed.
Based on what?
Floyd Mayweather has never knocked anybody silly like he did Tenshin Nasukawa.
Because Tenshin wasn't in his league.
No. Because Connor was not in his league.
Yeah, but he had his bet on his own money. He had to make this thing a show.
No.
So it's he waited till the 10th round and then did Connor in the way he should have done in the round one.
Any thoughts on the MMA heroes? So there was the headline, ex-UFC heavyweight saves woman from assault outside nightclub. Man tries to rob UFC's Pollyanna Viana in Rio and pays the painful price. And then alleged kidnapper arrested after chasing woman into karate studio, and they dealt with that attempted kidnapper.
It's all over the map, but it's problematic for all mixed martial artists as a whole, because you're now trapped into this. Do you want us to see these guys as the most deadly humans on the earth, or do you want us to see them as just like cuddly everyday people? Because it's hard to keep both of those in the same. I've got to keep this as either open hand or closed handed with how I'm viewing these people. And it seems like the UFC, on one hand, if their fighter gets beat up, oh, woe is me. But if the fighter can beat someone else up, yay us. Like, it's a problem.
Have you ever seen Kung Fu Panda?
I love Kung Fu Panda.
You know Panda is a bear, right? Yeah. And bears still maul, okay? They will eat you alive. And a panda bear is no different, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that, okay?
Panda bears are herbivores. Thank you very much.
Until you provoke them, and then they will show you exactly how much herbs they eat, okay? Because they will they'll still crush you, okay?
Much like the Diaz brothers, they are all about the herb.
I'm just saying. I mean, there's videos of a guy that was wanting to get a little too close to the panda, and the panda decided to show him why they call them panda bear, okay?
Not the McDonald's of Chinese food, but
Panda
Bear. Okay. Fabricio Verdum requests release from the UFC.
The greatest heavyweight MMA fighter ever
fight Cain Velasquez.
He beat Cain Velasquez. He whooped Cain Velasquez's ass.
So technically, yeah, he is. Okay. Because he's gonna be I mean, he's 41, 42 now. I mean, he's still in his prime. 42 is as much as I would like to think that's still a prime of something. That is no prime number in there. Okay, 42 is I'm teaching people now, and that's what he needs to do. He needs to go ahead and let it go.
Speaking of somebody else who wants to be released from the UFC, Colby Covington is saying that the announcement of Woodley versus Usman for the welterweight title at UFC 235 is cause for him to leave the UFC. Are you saying good riddance, or is this just another play for attention?
I think we ought to start a GoFundMe for that fight to happen. You know, I think Covington and Woodley need to get that out. They need to go ahead and air that out. I need Covington to get kicked.
Oh, but the thing is, if Woodley like slips on the mat, twists his ankle or something, that's the only way Covington wins. But if that happens, and we have Covington as king, that's a problem for me. No,
I don't. I think the leg would literally have to fall off his body.
What I'd rather see. Okay. What I'd rather see is him get beat up by Usman. Like, he hasn't earned a title shot. Let him get beat up by Usman. But him wanting to leave, I think is it's hard to say, because if you go back to what's his name, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan thinks that this was all a money play for Covington, that this is him selling and continuing to sell for the show. Uh-huh. And then you've got the American Gangster getting back at him saying, look, you never reveal the secrets of the UFC in the fight game. Like, so there's a problem there. So it's hard for you and I as a fan to know what's really going on, because we all know that Covington can't be all that he's pretending to be. Like, part of this is gamesmanship. But of course he is going to feel slighted that he had the interim title, should be given the next shot. And he's clearly not man enough to respect his responsibilities. You can't duck it forever and expect to be the next man up. So it's hard to say. I hope he goes, because what promotion would want Covington? I don't think he'd be a great fit at Bellator. And 1FC is about respect. So good luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ryan?
Yeah. No, for me, I think this is just attention grabbing. Colby Covington knows that UFC is the best thing that's ever happened to him. Don't leave it, because it's not going to get any better. I think that he's still the legitimate next fighter. So let Woodley and Usman fight. Take the next fight. Like, why are you even worried? Like,
because he wants that attention.
That's right. That's so it's just attention grabbing. Say as much as you want. Talk as much smack. Say, cut me, Dana, if you got the balls to do it, which is what he's saying. Yeah, and you so the bad. The fact is, Dana's not going to cut him. And the fact, this fight happens. Whoever wins, Colby Covington is the next man up. Maybe fights one more time. But there's no one left to really fight. Because Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is going to fight Anthony Pettis, or so they say. You've got Ben Askren fighting Robbie Lawler. So the only person without a dance partner is Colby Covington. And in that case, just wait for Usman and Woodley to be over, and you're the legitimate next opponent.
Yeah.
Why are you even worried?
I mean, because whoever he fights, he's going to lose to him.
Yeah. And plus, he's trying to, I guess he was wanting a bigger pay. He wants that payday first, I guess. Because that's the only thing I could think of why he would, he would throw a temper tantrum.
Well, because he wants to be on that card.
Usman could lose. I mean, if Usman wins, then Colby's payday is a lot lower than if Colby had fought Woodley.
No, it's, what's the problem here is, Woodley and Usman is on the same card as John Jones and the Lionheart, Anthony Smith.
You see that right there?
Three times. Is that a three-peat?
I mean, I literally ran into Coach Mark Montoya in the grocery store today, and he scared me a little bit. So I was like, yo, I'm repping all day.
Okay. I just got to put it out there. John. KC actually reached out to Anthony Smith to get him on the show.
I did.
Oh.
Can you believe that?
What did Anthony say?
He didn't respond.
Nothing yet. Yeah, so I wasn't going to, like, do it at the gym. And like, yo, Anthony, please
don't get that
me.
Thing I sent you?
Right?
Like, did you get my DM?
I'm going to be at the gym when it's like, yo, so you check your DMs, fam?
So. Shout
that would be awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome to have him on. I think he represents a next generation that a respectable fighter. And we cannot have we can't have enough of those guys. We need those respectable fighters that'll go in there and act like a homicidal, psychotic, type American Psycho style. Yeah, we need that.
I mean, I think I'd probably characterize him as more of just a guy who's put in the work over the years and is starting to get recognized, and his ability to work with the coaches and really craft a game plan for each individual fighter. That's really what's showing off for him. It's the fact that he's not going in there with one style. When you game plan for Anthony Lionheart Smith, you got to be prepared knowing that he's made all of the adjustments to fight you better than anyone else has done their homework on you.
All right. Follow us on social media. On Twitter, I'm at CST Ryan.
On Twitter, I don't play.
And on Twitter, I am Keys to Victory, and that's Keys with a K-E-Y-E-S to victory.
You can check out the website at www.combatsportstalk.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Instagram. This video will be everywhere.
Everywhere. Except everybody for Instagram.
All right. We have merchandise on Amazon. Go to our website and click the merchandise link. You can get one of these Combat Sports Talk shirts.
But not one of these.
No, because, I mean, really.
Pony up.
That's USC.
You know what? All of those hand things. I don't know. Grad school was.
That's USC. That's TCU. So what's SMU's?
Pony up. Shut up.
Watch out with the Mustangs.
With silly bears.
That's right. It's not derivative. It's not derivative at all.
It's not good at all.
Not like this.
I think it's like pony up is this.
And doesn't even make any sense. What is that?
It's a horse on its leg. It's a maverick with this.
Oh, so it's supposed to be like this?
Is this really happening, people?
This is the end of our show right now. People are watching.
They're like, what is wrong with y'all? Okay.
All right, let's get out of here.
Ruining your brand.
Let's get out of here. Our theme music is composed by Scott McCurry at scottdeancountry.com. And Casey Onyebuchi's produced our lead-ins. I want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Combat Sports Talk. For Casey Onyebuchi and John Keys, I'm Ryan Smith, reminding you to keep your hands up, your chin tucked, and throw bombs.
Work it.